where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I am redeemed. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free.
If you're redeemed this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the redemption that is found in Jesus alone. What a blessing it is to be in the family of God this morning. And so good to see each and every one of you. Hope everybody's having a good day today. Hopefully no interruptions or disturbances in your life this morning. And but anyway, we are so glad to be here. Good to see everybody. And we got our children's home and others on the way back from the snowy slopes in Virginia. And no accidents. Did get a praise report this morning from Brother CJ that someone got saved. And so we praise the Lord for that. Let's give a hand clap of praise for that. So we are so thankful that they were able to go up there on that trip and have a good time. And so they're traveling home today, so please remember them and traveling mercies as they make their way home. We mentioned Wednesday night we have another praise report. One got saved there and one got saved here. And Tyler, would you raise your hand? Tyler Brandon, he got saved. This is Lily's boyfriend, and he means so much to our family. And Grandmother Robin, we just love you both, love your family. Me and Tyler, we were talking for a good bit on last Tuesday, and then it carried over into the nighttime. And then he said he thought he got saved when he was 8 years old, but then he just wanted to nail it down, had a lot of doubt. And so we appreciate that. That was a wonderful experience talking with you, and what a blessing. So two saved in the past week. And we are on the hills of Jubilee. Y'all see what God's doing? Amen. He is setting the table for great and mighty things, showing us in advance that He can do anything He wants to do. And so we want Him to do something, don't we? But remember that. Next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. will be our annual Jubilee kickoff. And we'll have Second Coming Gospel Group singing with us in service. And Brother Snyder will be here Sunday morning preaching. He's coming to have a back surgery, so remember him. And the same thing happened last year. He had back surgery, and then, of course, it was right up to Jubilee time, but he still came and did a great job as usual. But remember him on that for next Sunday morning. Of course, Sunday night, Second Coming will be with us again the whole day, and Sammy Burgess will be preaching Sunday night. And we do have a lineup of all the Jubilee preachers and singers. It's in your bulletin, so please grab a bulletin to look at that in detail. And I do want to mention a few other things this morning. I do want to have a time of prayer together at the conclusion of the service for Jubilee. So someone, maybe Brother Allen, like you did last Sunday night, the whole praying hands thing. Somebody remind me. I get so involved in the message, I just forget what planet I'm on sometimes. And so I'd like to have Jubilee prayer at the conclusion of the service this morning. Remember, tonight we are having our Sunday night fellowship. We are having dinner and devotion down below. And so remember that this evening. It'll be a great time downstairs, just a short devotion. But we will have a great time of fellowship and food. Brother Don and Sister Carla made it back to Peru. I'm glad they did, but I miss them here. What a blessing. What a great help. But so thankful they made it back. Just continue to remember Brother Don. They didn't give him a diagnosis, couldn't find out what was going on. He knows there's something going on in his body. Miss Carla does, family does, but God does as well. And God's going to touch Brother Don, and so he can continue to serve. Remember that. I do want to mention this individual is not here, her or her husband, but today is Miss C.C. Prestridge's birthday. And so, Miss C.C. and Chuck. See, I went to go see right in the middle. Did you see that, Brother Randy? I went to look at the data projector, and there's no data projector, but wonderful picture there with a big old present. We're not disclosing that information, Brother Harold, how old Miss Cece is, okay? Some things you just don't ask, Brother. You know that. Yeah. Check it out on Facebook. You find anything on Facebook, be careful on Facebook. And so we appreciate Miss Cece and Brother Chuck and what they mean to the church and their support and all the ways that they have given to this ministry. And so we're pretty sure you're watching. We love you guys, and happy birthday to you is what we want to say as a church. But also, we publicly wanted to give a congratulations to Brother Randy Maddox. Go ahead and throw it up on the screen, please. Happy retirement. Look at him. He's like this. Brother Randy hasn't slowed down since retirement. But birthday was Monday, just surrounding him. Happy birthday, belated birthday. We love you. We love you, surrounding you with love. Appreciate you. Brother Randy has not slowed down. He has been wide open at the church, along with Spencer and Ashton and Brother Larry and the crew. And so thank you, brother. We appreciate you. We love you. And we need you. And so as the old saying goes, right? And so we just wanted to give those things out there. There is a sign-up sheet for desserts for the week of Jubilee. And again, we have arranged to have this week catered by Mother's Finest. And so we are looking forward to this. If you're planning on eating, I'm not sure if we still have the sign-up sheet to eat or not, but I'm sure it's there. Let us know if you will be eating, and also if you will bring a dessert. Everything else is covered, paper products, food, drinks. And so we are so very thankful and grateful for the means to get that this year. And so just remember that. All right, there's many other things we can mention and bring attention to. Last thing I will say is that we are having outreach on Saturday, this coming up Saturday at 10 o'clock, meeting in the fellowship hall. And, of course, we have flyers. I did order some clear hanging door handle bags to put the flyers in. Because we've been experiencing that you put the flyer in the door jam, and it just blows right off. And so we want to look professional. We want it done right. And so we'll be stuffing those envelopes and hanging them on the doors to finish out Enclave over here. We want to hit a couple stores, other little places in the community to invite people to Jubilee. So please make that a matter of prayer if you can come and join us next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. All right. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're here. We're ready to worship. God has something He wants to say, and He wants to minister through music and then His Word. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. We thank You, Lord, for the praise reports of the precious soul that got saved up in Virginia. And thank You, Lord, for the precious soul that got saved here, Tyler. Lord, I just pray that, God, that we would allow this excitement to fan our flame of these two getting saved, and that we would go out into the community, not just on next Saturday, but, Lord, we're always out in the community and working and coming and going. Help us keep some tracts on hand, some church invitations, and just be ready to witness and invite someone to church. Father, we just do pray for Jubilee. We will have a time of prayer here in just a little while, but we do pray, Father, that we would prepare ourselves not just in body, but in mind. That is the most important way. Mind and heart, help us prepare this week to be ready for next week. And Father, we know You're going to do great and mighty things. God, we've called on You. We've asked You to do so. We know You want to do those things. Be with all the prayer requests, everyone's name that's mentioned in the bulletin, even those things, Lord, where people are not liberty to share because they're too personal, they're too close to their heart. We lift even those needs up to You this morning. Get our children's home and leaders, house parents back safely that are on the road today, and just give us a fantastic service this morning and a wonderful fellowship tonight. And we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen.
Amen. Church, if you'll stand with me, choir, stand with me as well. Turn over to page number 177. Page 177. Let's sing together. Are You Washed in the Blood? All right, everyone sing together now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed on the last? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood. Church, choir, you can both be seated. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, you're a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. And we are excited about Jubilee. We're excited about two saved. And we're excited about their names written down in glory. Amen? And so the Lord is beginning already to do some great work. And we're very excited about what He's going to do. Please don't forget next Saturday, if you can be here, and go out and reach out to the community, and please just make Jubilee a matter of prayer. And I believe God wants to do some great things, and I know that you do as well. But again, please remember those that are traveling today, that the Lord bring them back safely. We are thankful for no broken bones, and as far as I know, maybe some bruises. Maybe the pride got hurt a little bit, but we're glad they're all coming back and coming back in a whole like they left. Amen. But I do pray for safe travels today. Pray for the service this morning as well as this evening. Got a lot of things going on, so just ask the Lord to do some great work. Choir practice today, choir at 4 o'clock. And again, if you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, it'll be a great time to jump on board. Be ready for Jubilee. We're going to go through all of our songs this evening. So please just make that a matter of prayer as well. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, on the offering now. Brother Dion, would you pray for us this morning? Thank you.
again. It's good to. Appreciate the Lord saving souls this morning. And but anyway, again, it's good to be here. Good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. And I'm not twisting any arms or anything, but does anybody else have a word this morning? If your heart is pounding and you feel like you must say something, speak on, but if not, we're going to get into the Bible. Trail?
Yeah, I want to say something I think a lot of people are getting more aware of. I think that we're running on end times. People start to realize that a lot of them are getting scared. And I pray every night that someone, somewhere, somehow gets saved.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. You're very welcome. We're certainly praying for Miss Connie. So appreciate that, Brother Trill. Yes, sir. Absolutely. We'll be praying for you, Brother Harold.
Thank you.
God give you the strength.
I need to see your wife after church.
Okay. You're the only one I'm going to see my wife after church. Absolutely, brother. Well, appreciate that. We will definitely work that out. 1 Thessalonians this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. Of course, there's 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians there in Thessalonica. Chapter number 1. I do want to bow for a word of prayer and ask God to do something great this morning with His Word. Father, we love You today. We thank You. We praise You. Thank You for these praise reports. Thank You, Lord, for the hearts of Your people who have spoken. God, they need You to intervene. They need You to do things in their life. So, Lord, we pray that You would do that. Bless the membership of Calvary Baptist Church. Bless our efforts. Bless the reading of Your Word and the preaching of Your Word this morning. I do pray for a clear head and a calm heart. God, I pray You'd gird up the loins of my mind. Give me laser focus is what I'm asking. I know You have something to say. Father, we will praise You and thank You in advance, not only for the things that You're going to do, but for the things You've already done, and maybe the things You're doing now we're not even aware of. We just thank You for being the Lord of our life and our Savior. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 1. I typically do not read a lot of verses when I read my verses for the message's sake, to keep your attention. But we're going to read all these verses in chapter number 1. And we're going to try to bring about the message this morning God's put on our heart. Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, in patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entrance in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's reading the entire chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 1, down to verse number 10. I do want to say right up front, what an amazing chapter that we have here concerning a local church. This is Paul's letter to the church of the Thessalonians. Let me say that there was an uproar in Thessalonica over the gospel being preached there, is what took place there in Thessalonica, an uproar. Paul had and Silas had arrived and started preaching, and it caused problems. That's over in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Don't turn there, but that's where the account is. And we know that many got saved there, Jews and Greeks, but many didn't get saved. And many that didn't get saved got very angry at what was taking place there in Thessalonica. But during this time, we know that this was a time of affliction there in Thessalonica, and those who got saved during this time. The saved received the word in much affliction. Verse 6 tells us that. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. And we also know that the unbelieving Jews got a crowd together of, the Bible says in Acts 17, of lewd people. That word lewd means hurtful. Also means a type of mob. And so those who didn't believe and those who were bothered by the preaching of the gospel got a mob of people together to try to go and arrest Paul and Silas and any other preacher that was preaching the gospel of Jesus. And so all of this caused an uproar there in Thessalonica. In so much that the rulers of the city went to the home of Jason and they stormed his home. I guess you could say that they kicked down his door. And they were looking for Paul and Silas and all the other gospel preachers that may have been there. They wanted to drag them out of the house to face this raging crowd. In fact, in Acts 17, verse 7, this is what they said about Paul and Silas. They do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. So that's what's taking place there in Macedonia, there in Thessalonica. But in Acts 17, in verse number 6, I'll just give it to you. There was a certain comment that was made. And the comment that was made during this time was this: these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now, this comment coming from the enemy was a critique. They're causing trouble with the gospel. They're making this noise. They're making us uncomfortable. We're loyal to Caesar. And so this was a critique from the enemy. But on the same token, it was a compliment to Paul and Silas, because it was made known that they were changing the world. So this morning, this is the backdrop of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, but more specifically, chapter 1. All these things were taking place, an uproar in Thessalonica, but yet there were some who got saved in much affliction. With that said, I want to call your attention to verse number 3. Verse number 3 says this: remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. This church that was in Thessalonica had three characteristics that made them great. And of course, we have them here in verse 3. The work of faith that they had, the labor of love, and patience of hope. But there was a couple other things said about this church that made them great. In verse number 7, the Bible says, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And so they were examples. They were a model church, this church, the church of the Thessalonians. Verse number 8 says this church gave a sound. Verse number 8, the Bible says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. The word sounded out is through the idea of a trumpet, as they would call gatherings together in those days, in those hills and mountain areas. They would give sounds of warning with the trumpet. And it would sound, but then it would echo in the valleys. And so Paul is saying that you are this model church. You possessed these certain characteristics, and because of that, you became examples to everyone else in the community. All the other churches, all the other believers, you became this great example. And your church has been sounded out in the community. With this said this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this particular subject, and that is characteristics of a great church. Characteristics of a great church. If we're going to have a healthy church, a great church, these characteristics must be found here. But also, if we're going to be healthy Christians and do something great for God, these things must be found within us as well. So this message is for the church, but also this message is for us as individuals. Before we get into our main verse, verse number 3, I do want to look a little bit into verse number 1 and verse number 2. So there's three things this morning about characteristics of a great church that I want to mention. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 1, we see Paul's introduction. Paul's introduction. He says, Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have three people mentioned here. We have Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. These are the three that are connected to Thessalonica. We know that Paul was the writer, and the others, Silvanus and Timotheus, they were in the company. They were co-laborers with Paul. Silvanus was with Paul here in Thessalonica, but also he was with Paul in Corinth and some other places as well. But then you have Timotheus, or Timothy, and he was sent by Paul on occasion while they were at Athens to go to Thessalonica to check on their state, to see how they were doing. So when Paul begins to mention these characters and these co-laborers, it's with purpose. They are connected to this church. They know the people. And so therefore, Paul introduces this chapter by mentioning his co-laborers. And so they all knew the Thessalonians, and the Thessalonians knew them. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, then the Bible says, unto the church of the Thessalonians. Unto the church of the Thessalonians. We know that this letter was written to the believers there at Thessalonica. This was a group of believers that actually, again, they were saved, of course, but they actually formed a local church. Not only was it a group of believers, but they had an organized local church. This was an organized church. A local church, and I can prove that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, listen to this in verse number 12. Paul's still speaking to the Thessalonians here. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And so there were positions here. This wasn't just a group of believers in Thessalonica. It was an actual local church, I believe. And so Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. He goes on and he says, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that just simply means God was their Father and Jesus was their Savior. And then we have Paul's usual ending in his salutation, his introduction. He says, grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Paul typically concludes his introduction with this salutation. So we have this morning Paul's introduction. But then number 2, in verse number 2, we have Paul's meditation. His introduction, and now we're going to get into his meditation. In verse 2, the Bible says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul begins to meditate upon the people of Thessalonica. Paul didn't say, I give thanks to some of you. But Paul says, I give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And so we see that Paul gives praise for all of the people in the church. Paul gave praise for the Jews that were converted and in the church. Paul gave praise for the Gentiles that were saved and in the church. Paul gave praise for the rich. Paul gave praise for the poor. Paul gave praise for the nice. Paul gave praise for the mean. Paul gave praise for the lovable. And Paul gave praise for the unlovable. He says again, as he's meditating over this body of believers, we give thanks to God always for you all. For you all. This morning I thank God for all of you. I really do. If Paul gave thanks for all, then I give thanks for all. And I believe every pastor ought to give thanks for all, in spite of some being lovable and some being unlovable. That's just how it is in the body of believers. There are some who are nice. There are some who are mean. There are some who come to you when there's a problem. There are some who talk behind your back. But Paul sets the standard here, and he says, I give thanks to God for you all of you. I just want to say this morning, I love all of you. All of you. And I praise God for you. Not only did Paul give thanks for all of them, but Paul said, I pray for all of them. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Let me ask you a question this morning. It's easy to pray for those who are lovable. It's easy to pray for those who give you compliments. What about those who are unlovable? What about those who critique you? What about those who talk about you? Do you love them? Do you pray for them? We ought to. Jesus says that we ought to pray for our enemies. We ought to love our enemies. We ought to love everybody. And so we have the Apostle Paul here, and he is mentioning the people of Thessalonica, and he says, I give thanks to God always for you all, and I pray for you all. I want to let everybody here know that I pray for you all. I pray for you as a body, but then I pray for you individually, as individuals, however the Lord leads. And so we do see Paul's meditation here. Paul gives praise for them all, but then we see that Paul prays for them all. I'm sure that Paul prayed daily for them. I'm sure that Paul prayed publicly for them. And I'm sure Paul also prayed privately for them. He was a praying man. And so we see Paul in his time of meditation. Again, it's easy to praise the Lord and pray for the easy to love and be around, but it's challenging, and it's on the contrary for those who are different. Let us praise and pray for all. And after I wrote that statement, I drew a little bitty heart right there. Let us pray and praise for all. Paul's meditation. Paul's introduction. But notice, if you would, in verse number 3, we have Paul's conclusion. Paul concluded in his meditation of the Thessalonians 3 characteristics that they possessed that everyone knew them by. So that's what I want to look at right now. Verse number 3, remembering without ceasing, this is his meditation, the conclusion of it, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. First characteristic of a great church or a healthy church is it will have a faith that is working. A faith that is working. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. In the Bible, there are 3 abiding principles in the Christian life, and it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love. And these are things that should be exhibited not only from a church, local church point of view, but as individuals. We should exhibit faith, hope, love. And we should operate out of faith, hope, and love. So these are 3 abiding principles in the Christian life. And so we see one of them here, and it is the work of faith. The work of faith. What does he mean by remembering without ceasing your work of faith? What is he talking about here? I believe he's talking about the church of Thessalonica. These Thessalonians had an active faith. Not only was Jesus their Savior, but they had an act of faith. They did something with their faith. Their faith was operating. They had faithful activity. They had acts of duty. There was holiness in their character. There was benevolence in their church. This proved they exercised faith in Christ. They worked at their church. So we see that this faith here, he says again, remembering without ceasing, your work of faith has to do with an act of faith. But also faith here, it means a work being done, characterized by faith and prompted by faith. He's talking about a faith to move forward, a faith to work, a faith to accomplish. Real faith prompts us to action. Also, faith is an enabler to complete a project. Do you know that? Faith this morning wants to work. Faith this morning has its hands full. Works of faith are those things to which faith prompts. Their salvation produced good works. Salvation produces a faith that works this morning. Serving God faithfully and believing God for the impossible. The Thessalonians had this kind of faith. Do you have that kind of faith? Does your faith have wheels on it? Or are you satisfied with just being saved and waiting to go to heaven when you die? Real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has works to it. Real faith in Jesus will cause us to want to work and serve. Real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith that is produced by knowing Him will cause us to believe Him for something impossible. Do you believe in the ministry of this church? And I know you do, because you've given to its cause. You do believe in the ministry of this church. You want to see great things happen. And so just a question this morning to reiterate, do we have the kind of faith that works? This is one of the characteristics of a great church, is a faith that works. And so Paul is meditating over this, the people of Thessalonica. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. He says they were a church that worked and operated by faith. Now, let me mention this other one. Not only your work of faith, but he says, and labor of love. This church was characterized by the love that it had. Now we know, you don't have to turn there, but in Revelation chapter number 2, the church of Ephesus was a working church. The church of Ephesus endured trial and tribulation, but they were lacking love, the church of Ephesus. The writer says that Jesus says, I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. There are churches this morning who pay their bills. There are churches this morning who have ministries. But if you were to walk through their doors, it'll feel like a cold morgue because there's no love there. And so one of the characteristics of a great church, one of the characteristics of a Christian who possesses real, genuine faith is that of love. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. It's a labor of love that Paul is calling to our attention. And that word labor here is through the idea of pains or reduction of strength. It also means a cut, or it can mean labor pains. And so this love that we're talking about is a labor of love, and it's accomplished through pain. As a woman that is pregnant with child and is getting ready to deliver the baby, those pains get deeper and those pains get more terrible, and they eventually the baby comes, and she knows that there's a baby coming, so there's some joy involved. There's a love that's involved. And so Paul says that this church had this labor of love like a woman that is childbearing. And they know that that there's something great coming. They know that they're doing it for the Lord. There's a love involved. And so they labor no matter how bad it hurts or gets painful. They labor. They continue. Their strength is reduced. Sometimes in ministry, there is a reduction of strength that takes place. And sometimes in ministry, when we're laboring for the Lord and doing what we love, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we get cut, and sometimes we experience grief and heartache, but we keep laboring, although it's painful. Sometimes you got to play hurt, like the athlete on the field that gets hurt but wants to be in the game and wants to play so bad. No, coach, don't put me on the bench, but let me play. I'll play hurt. So we have this morning this church who is playing hurt. They have went through this time of affliction when the gospel was being preached. And everyone in the town was in an uproar. Some was for it. Some was against it. But yet they labored for the Lord because they loved the Lord. And we will labor at this church, and we will move forward at this church, and we will believe God for the impossible at this church. But it's going to cost some labor. There's going to be some labor pains during the process anytime you go to do something great for God. But me as your pastor, as long as you will let me be your pastor, we will undergo the birth pains, and we will, as they come, and we will move forward, and we will accomplish great things as the Lord allows us to. So there's a labor of love involved here. A laborious toil. Somebody may be experiencing a lot of labor at home. Things aren't going right at home, or things ain't going right in the marriage, or things aren't going right with the kids. Things aren't going right at the job or at the school. And listen, there are definitely things that we encounter at home in those places that's painful. But love, if we operate out of love, we will undergo those birth pains. Labor of love, this phrase, it means to be undertaken or overtaken for love's sake. Are you so in love with Jesus that you will serve Him and labor for Him? Doesn't come what may. Doesn't matter what somebody says. Doesn't matter about a critique here. Doesn't matter about this setback here. You love Jesus so much, you're going to keep on laboring for Him. Will you do that for Jesus this morning? Or will you be like someone said one time, "Oh, well, if this changes at the church, I'm going to leave the church." Is your relationship with Jesus so shallow that you would leave your church if some of the decorations were changed? God bless your soul if that's you. But my love for Jesus is so deep and anchored, it's going to take a whole lot more than a few changes in the church to run me out of a church. I'll tell you that this morning. Let us labor for the Lord. If God has put you here to Calvary, and you believe me to be the pastor of this church, don't let anything run you out of this church. Let's just move forward for Jesus. It's the labor of love. It's like being in labor with a baby. But the joy or the love of what was coming caused you to undergo the labor. Things done in the spirit of love. I'm not doing what I'm doing in leading where we're leading necessarily for you. Now, don't take that the wrong way. I'm doing it for the Lord, and you will be positively affected. I'm doing it for you, but I'm doing it for the Lord. Let me tell you the reason why we're not to do what we do for the Lord. We're not to get that out of sync and do it for man instead of God. Because people change and people's not always on board with you. And if you start to do what you do for man, you're going to be disappointed and you may quit. But if you do it for Jesus and He is the centerpiece in your life, then it will affect others in a positive way. Things done in the spirit of love, labor produced by love, being actuated by love, meaning operating by love. Are you operating out of love this morning? That's the question. Are you operating out of love? Do you possess the spirit of love we're talking about? Are you actuated by love? And so Paul said they operated by love, out of love. And listen, their life wasn't great, the Thessalonians. They were in great affliction. People were dying and being killed. Yet they labored for their church in love. And so, love, their love for God allowed them to love the unlovable in the church and the community. Their love for God allowed them to serve faithfully. Their love for God allowed them to dream big for God, to do something great for Him. Again, the church of Ephesus did things, served, and fought through afflictions and all of that, but they didn't have love. Let us possess love as a church. Let us possess love as individuals. You don't have to turn there, but I love what Jude 21 says. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. There is a maintenance for being a Christian. You know that. Now, God's love is in our heart because He's in our heart. But it's up to us daily to take Him out and use His love. Are you operating by the love of God? We've got to keep ourselves in the love of God. And listen, there may be things in life that try to remove us from operating out of the love of God. It may be something, some kind of activity we're doing daily that is getting more attention than God is. It may be something we're listening to or watching on TV. It may be unhealthy relationships that's causing us to drift from God and the love of God. Whatever it is, we need to center ourselves in God and operate out of the love of God. So, that's what Jude says. Verse 22 in Jude says this, and some have compassion, making a difference. It's all about love. Love makes the difference. Compassion makes the difference. The Bible tells us to love without dissimulation. And that word dissimulation just means hypocrisy. Let us love without hypocrisy. Let us have a genuine love. If I walk up to you, Brother Allen, and say, Brother Allen, I love you, you're my brother, guess what? I mean that. I'm not going to go behind Brother Allen's back and say, you know what? I can't believe Brother Allen. I just can't believe him. You will not get that from me, brother. Nobody will get that from me. And how is that? Why is that? Because I'm operating out of the love of God. I'm keeping myself in the love of God. Number one, I don't deserve God's love. Didn't deserve to be saved. And so that has so overwhelmed me. I want to love people. Some are easy to love and some are hard to love, but I'm called to love. Let our love be without hypocrisy. Don't go and talk about somebody. Call them up and talk to them about it. Amen. Let our love be without dissimulation. The Thessalonians had a love and they labored in that love. Let me mention this other one. Talking about characteristics of a great church, a healthy church. It involves a work of faith. It involves a labor of love. But then, it says, in patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. What is he talking about here? Patience of hope. He's talking about a hopeful endurance of trials. A steadfast endurance, listen, which is grounded upon and cheered by hope. Patience of trials, meaning, as Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This is a church that didn't believe in accidents. This is a church that didn't believe in coincidence. This is a church that had a great faith and that labored in love, but also had patience. They believed that whatever happened in their life was first filtered through the hands of God. They had patience of hope in our Lord. They hoped in God and nothing else. They had this steadfast endurance which was grounded and cheered by hope. Patient of trials. Patience in trials. They were going through a time of affliction, as I mentioned several times already. When the gospel was being preached, yet they got saved and they understood that God was working and doing things and the enemy was attacking. Listen, to have a ministry, to have a successful ministry, a healthy church, a church that is great, we've got to be patient. We've got to hope for the best. We've got to want the best. And Paul says these Thessalonians, they had patience. They were hopeful because God was their Lord. Our hope of heaven is through Christ, which gives us patience down here. And so all of these things that is wrapped up in this phrase, patience of hope, they possessed that. It was a characteristic that they just didn't believe in coincidence. They didn't believe things were just happening to happen. They knew that God ultimately was in control. And again, the Bible says, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope. Our hope this morning is found only in Christ. Their hope was founded only in Christ. Our only hope of heaven and reason of suffering now is that it's first founded in Christ and again, manipulated by Christ. Christ is the one who sees what comes in our life and what goes from our life. He's our hope of heaven. And then the Bible says, in the sight of God and our Father. Which means that God is viewing all. God is omniscient. He knows all. Everything is before Him. And so Paul is concluding his meditation here by saying, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Faith works. Love labors and hope waits. Are those three characteristics found in your life? Are you operating out of faith, love? Are you hopeful? They ought to be found in our life. We ought to exhibit those things in our life. But also as a church, faith, love, and hope ought to be evident in our church as well. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you for the message, Lord, the things that you put upon our heart. And Lord, as we reflect over this church, the church of the Thessalonians, Father, help us want these characteristics. And I feel this morning they are found in this church, that we do have a healthy church, a great church. Greatness isn't always measured numerically. Greatness is measured spiritually. And I'm thankful for the workers of this church, Lord. They know I'm thankful for them. This church knows I love them. We have a working church who operates out of faith and love. We are hopeful, God, that you're going to do something great here at Calvary. Help these things not only be found in our church, but in our own lives as individuals. We love you today and we praise you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come pray, want to come pray.